my view on it is, if you're going to get a saddle, don't just start buying things and throwing them on your bike. Get a bike fit where you're able to actually try the saddles and try multiple saddles.
Right.
And what I'll do is I'll have the rider, you know, we'll try, you know, six or more different saddles, find something that's reasonably comfortable in the studio, stationary, and then just send them out on the road for 2 weeks and try it out over road vibrations and just make sure they're feeling confident in it. And if they're not, then, you know, we just circle back and we just keep working on it. And that's the only way that I found to be like foolproof. Like I can always get someone comfortable using that method. It takes time and it's like a lot of elbow grease on my end. but I wish there was some kind of like magic device that could really quantify that. And I know there's some out there that sort of attempt to do that, but ultimately, you know, cycling is such a dynamic thing.
Exactly.
You got to try it. And it needs to be wrapped up in the fit to make sure you have all the other variables, like you said, seat height, that could throw off the comfort.
DN Plus One, global yet very local cycling podcast, brought to you by Lowland Cycling. Cycling podcast is all about you, our listener, and everything cycling. Going out on your bike and enjoying your ride, amongst other things, is based on how comfortable your ride is. You hear too many cyclists that experience pains and numbness during or after their rides. So how do you prevent this from happening? In today's podcast, Tim Gresh joins me to talk about bike fitting, and specifically about what is a good saddle. Tim is the owner of GreshFit, a multifaceted cycling studio here in Westchester. Tim, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Jerry. Thanks for having me. Appreciate it. I have a studio in Westchester, as you mentioned. I'm a full-time professional bike fitter, primarily. So folks come in to my studio with their bike and I retrofit them, or I will, just simply figure out measurements for, and maybe a new bike or a new build they're doing, or, sizing up measurements to do a complete custom frame bike. And then I also do, indoor group cycling classes, and custom bikes as well. So. Yeah, it's a pretty cool business. I really enjoyed a lot. Been doing it for about 10 years now.
Oh wow! Do you have any background in cycling yourself? Are you an active cyclist, or did you bike before?
Yeah. I'm definitely an active cyclist. I don't do any bike racing. I used to. So I started cycling when I was in my early teens and got into road racing, joined a junior bike racing team, and we just really got into, you know, criteriums and road races and stuff like that, and was on a kind of a local U23 team, and then got onto kind of a regional elite race team, and got to do a lot of really cool events, and just every weekend racing, and then I started my business, and now I just kind of go out for exercise, for stress relief, just like a lot of people do. And do a lot of gravel along with road, and I do a decent amount of mountain biking too, so just kind of like a lot of variety right now.
Cool. Yeah, it's you're absolutely a well-known name in the area, and I know that a lot of people enjoy the studio and the bike fitting. I only hear good things about that. And like I mentioned in my intro, I want to dig in a little bit deeper on a saddle, right? It's bike fitting is a very broad topic, and I hope and I know that we will get into that more in the future. But I think a saddle to kick it off. Can you tell me a little bit more about what's a good saddle and why is it important?
Yeah. So fundamentally, a cyclist needs to have a stable pelvis. that's just kind of the foundation. And if you have the right saddle, then you will have a more stable pelvis, and that's going to just work in your favor all around, decreasing injuries. And then of course, just general comfort. No one wants to be, you know, having genital numbness or, pressure on their, you know, bones of their pelvis, when they're riding a bike.
Right. And, if you look at, complaints that you hear often, people coming into the studio saying, "Hey, I have this numbness or my sit bones or any other issues." What are the most heard complaints that you get?
Most heard complaints, I'll give you the top two. The first one, one's definitely genitals going numb.
Mm-hmm.
The second one, well, I'll give you three. So the second one is like localized pressure on the bone, creating pain. So you just kind of have like this pressure point.
Yeah.
And the third one is a feeling of sitting off center. Nice. Almost like they're putting pressure more on one side than the other. Might not be painful. It's just annoying. And they're not really sure why it's happening. Not sure if it's normal, not sure if it's, you know, whatever. So I'd give those the top three. There's of course others, but those are probably the biggest ones.
Mm-hmm. And, if you take a saddle, just overall, what makes a good saddle a good saddle? What makes a road saddle a road saddle, a tri saddle or a mountain bike saddle? Are there any differences, and how would you differentiate?
Yeah. So what makes a good saddle overall, like I said earlier, is one that enforces pelvic stability, and sort of helps to lock you into one position. And I definitely have a couple favorites there. We can maybe talk about that later.
Mm-hmm.
But definitely one that, like I said, that enforces pelvic stability, that provides you with comfort when you're out on the road, absorbs the road vibrations. And, you know, regarding like the different types of saddles for a road, mountain bike, triathlon,
right.
For the most part, you know, triathlon saddles commonly have like kind of a horseshoe shape right now.
Mm-hmm.
The most common is the ISM brand, and there's others. So triathlon has sort of bred its own kind of animal of saddle that's sort of unique shape for that very unique discipline.
Exactly.
Which is great. And I have a lot of success getting people happy with one of those. But road and mountain bike, I'd say they're pretty much interchangeable. Road bikers, just due to like the static nature of that position, mm-hmm. it's all about them being as comfortable as possible. It's all about the rider. So mountain biking on the other side, it's, you know, you're in the saddle, you're out of the saddle. There's a lot of different things happening there. It's so much more dynamic.
You have to drop a post, right?
Yeah, you have to
get rid of your excess.
Yeah, it doesn't even need to
be saddle.
Sometimes it doesn't even need to be there. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, the mountain bike saddle, I wouldn't say that there's one saddle makes it a mountain bike, one makes it a road. I would say like road has created a lot of the different saddles, and then a lot of mountain bikers might just find one good for them. But road saddles definitely are kind of more specific, and they're all kind of the traditional shape. You know, with the nose and, you know, the wide part in the back, you know, distinctly different than the triathlon saddles, like I mentioned earlier, with that horseshoe shape, which is kind of a new design, newish design the past, you know, I don't know, 5 years or more, something like that.
Okay. Thanks for that, Tim. So now, especially, it's absolutely booming, the indoor cycling, and whether it's Swift or Trainer Road or Be Cool or any of these online platforms where you sit still for a very long period of time. Is there any recommendation that you have for like say the indoor cycling, let's say, effort that you're putting in and pains and aches that you might experience?
Yeah, that's a really interesting question. It's something that I've been thinking about a lot lately now that we have all these smart trainers and really great apps, and people are just on their trainers so much longer than they've ever been, like ever in history. Mm-hmm. And I have been seeing a kind of an increase in folks with just like really tight hips and lower back and just like really tight muscles from all that time kind of statically in that just locked in position, and there's no like balanced movement going on that you would have out, like kind of like that suppleness of being out on the road and sort of like going through the turns and the hills, down the hills and all that other good stuff. So what I usually recommend is just like rollers. So if you're spending a lot of time on the trainer, I would consider just investing in some rollers, so you're getting that aspect. Right. That's going to help with comfort, especially with saddle comfort. Just you kind of have more of that moving around, and you know, some folks maybe find it intimidating, rollers, but I mean, I always just say it's like riding a bike. That's it's like you just kind of get used to it. Don't watch any of those YouTube roller crash videos; it'll freak you out. But there's a lot of good rollers out there, and that'll go a long way. But other than that, you know, if you're on your fixed station, like your kicker or whatever, I would definitely invest extra time into finding a good saddle. So like find, you know, like what I do at the studios, I have a whole array of demo saddles. Mm-hmm. So I'll have folks try out a couple of different models, right, really find one that's very comfortable, very conducive to like that pelvic stability, keeping you nice and locked in, right, supports you in the areas that you need to be supported. Mm-hmm. And then just, you know, use shorts with a thicker than normal padding.
Yeah, I was about to ask that the bibs and the chamois, how do they play into your overall riding comfort? Is it certain combinations or?
Yeah, when you're riding indoors, it's just the combination is getting, like I said, a good saddle, right, you know, investing time into that. And then just a nice, like a newer pair of shorts with a nice thick padding. You know, most brands, that's, you know, brands of like bibs, you know, they're going to have an offering for like kind of like their endurance, mm-hmm, flavor, where they have a, you know, thicker padding. So that'll definitely work out. But the bottom line is, riding indoors is, it's going to be a little, it's not going to be perfect. So there's, I would put that out there. Don't look for perfection. You're not going to find it. You know, a saddle that might feel great out on the road for 5 hours, you know, probably isn't going to feel good for 5 hours on the trainer.
Yeah.
Probably shouldn't be doing that on the trainer anyway, but, yeah, that's what I would say overall.
Yeah. And when I ride online and you speak with others, we use Discord and, we often talk about it, and changing your ride position is one of the things, right? You're, instead of with your hands on top of the handlebar, you go down in the drops, or you take a little bit more of aerodynamic just to kind of offload that pelvis and your sit bones a little bit, to make it a little bit more bearable. But to your point, what people say is, when I go for a longer indoor ride, 2 hours plus, I take my best cycling bibs, make sure that I wear those.
Yeah.
And that just makes a world of difference. Absolutely.
Yeah. And to backtrack a little bit, you want to make sure your bike position is good, of course. So when I say like, it's never going to be perfect, that's assuming that you got a really good bike fit where someone took, you know, the care of figuring out the right saddle for you, letting you test it. And then you have that good bike position. Mm-hmm. Even under those circumstances, it's still not going to be perfect. But for those folks that might be listening to this who have never gotten a good bike fit, that's the first order of work. Get that out of the way. Don't spend any time, you know, ordering saddles online or just focusing on just the saddle. Get your overall position dialed in, because you might find, you know what, mm-hmm, I can tolerate this for 2 hours, no problem.
Yeah.
Everyone's tolerance is a little bit different, but just to set the expectations, even with a really good bike fit, I wouldn't expect it to be like bliss riding the trainer for long periods of time.
Exactly. Yeah, no, that makes complete sense. So another question. So if you look at saddles, there's a huge difference in price, and does price always equate to quality and comfort? And why is there such a big difference in price? What do you think about that? What's your opinion?
I would say that price doesn't really indicate necessarily if one's going to be better than the other. Mm-hmm. I would definitely confirm that, you know, I've had plenty of people very comfortable on a cheap saddle and they're right. Mm-hmm. Riding that thing forever. But I mean, for the most part, when you go to like a higher end saddle, a little bit more expensive, mm-hmm. you're getting better construction. You're getting kind of the underlying shell of it. Like, yeah. So it's just kind of like the hull of the saddle is just more sturdy. It's made out of stronger material. So over time, it's not going to fatigue and sag down as much as maybe a cheaper saddle.
Right.
You know, especially if you get like a carbon shelled saddle, mm-hmm. that's not going to fatigue like a plastic one would. You know, more expensive saddles, generally they put some more R&D into it with right. little things that maybe the end user doesn't really think about, but I think of it as a fitter where like, I'll use SMP as an example. I'm a huge fan of Selle SMP saddles. Mm-hmm. I use them a lot with my fits because they have very long rails, extremely okay. long rails, mm-hmm. like about 4 centimeters or so. Yeah. About 4 centimeters longer than most other saddles. So what that means is that I can position someone fore and aft right. much better on an SMP than most other brands, but they put that thought into that. And those mm-hmm. aren't cheap saddles, but they've been around forever. And, you know, they're like $250 a pop, but, you know, they put that thought into it and you get that better result, even yeah. though it's not something that you can really like, you know, see, as the customer.
Exactly. So, and then, right, the paying a certain amount for a saddle, what's the lifespan of a saddle, right? Do saddles wear out? Do you replace saddles after a couple of years? I honestly do it because I'm trying something else after a couple of years. Or is there anything looking at the life cycle, the lifespan of a good saddle?
Yeah, I mean, just like anything else, they're going to wear out. Mm-hmm. Goes back to the material that they're made out of. Some saddles will only last a season. Some will last a lot, you know, multiple seasons. So comes down to how much you're riding. But yeah, I mean, it's sort of a hard question to answer because there's a lot of variables there. Right. But I'll say for sure that like a well-built saddle, you know, like a Selle SMP, you know, like there's those Brooks saddles, those leather ones, right. and mm-hmm. some of those will just last like as long as you can stand like the smell of them, almost like shoes. You can yeah. just keep using them like for a really long time, and they might even feel better as time goes on because they kind of break into your rear end to some yeah. extent. Yeah. But going back to earlier regarding like price, mm-hmm. I'll also add in that I wouldn't. General advice, if anyone's sort of like looking at price of a saddle and kind of wants to make a decision based off of price, I mean, unless you're really strapped for cash, I wouldn't make any compromises there. Exactly. I would try to find the funds from someplace else. Like don't buy like your $300 shoes or don't, you know, make an upgrade somewhere else. Like put that into the saddle because that's so okay. important. Mm-hmm. And I would, you know, advise people just, you know, if there's a $250 SMP, I keep picking on SMP, then just go for it because it's gonna do the job well, and that's what you want with a saddle.
Yeah, yeah, and that brings us back to where we started, right? It's the cycling and enjoying cycling, the being comfortable on your bike, whether you're racing, whether you're touring, whether you're just going out for a pleasure type of ride, it's a world difference. If you don't have those pains and aches during or after the ride, and that's why we do it, right? That's why we get on the bike, go out, exercise, and enjoy yourself. So. So a final thing, we only spoke about the saddle, but my assumption is that there are a lot of dependencies if you look at bike fitting in general. So without opening a whole bike fitting topic, is my assumption correct that the saddle and how the saddle kind of fits your build is just one part of your overall comfort on the bike.
Yeah, it's just one part of it. It's not like the thing. Is that what you're referring to?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I mean it's just one piece of the puzzle, so to speak. And it's an important piece of the puzzle, but there's a lot of other pieces, and there's a lot of other pieces that have an impact on mm-hmm. another piece. So, you know, if your handlebars aren't in the right spot, that can impact saddle comfort. Yeah. If the cleats are off, that can impact it. So they're all related, and they're all very important. So it's yeah. not just the saddle.
Saddle height.
Saddle height.
Length. Yeah.
Yep. And then also just like the configuration of your saddle, having it too far back, too far forward, angled nose down too much, or exactly. or you know all those variables will play a role in the comfort. So really, my view on it is, if you're going to get a saddle, don't just mm-hmm. start buying things and throwing them yeah. on your bike. Get a bike fit where you're able to actually try the saddles and try multiple saddles.
Right.
And what I'll do is I'll have the rider, you know, we'll try, you know, six or more different saddles, mm-hmm. find something that's reasonably comfortable in the studio,
yeah,
stationary, and then just send them out on the road for 2 weeks and try it out over road vibrations, and just make sure they're feeling confident in it. And if they're not, then you know, we just circle back and we just keep working on it. And that's the only way that I found to be like foolproof. Like I can always get someone exactly. comfortable mm-hmm. using that method. It takes time and it's like a lot of elbow grease on my end, but and I wish there was some kind of like magic device that could really quantify that. And I know there's some out there that sort of attempt to do that, but ultimately, you know, cycling is such a dynamic thing.
Exactly.
You got to try it, and it needs to be wrapped up in the fit to make sure you have all the other variables, like you said, seat height, that could throw off the comfort.
Okay, absolutely. And I was actually just thinking about events like the Tour de France, and especially when you go back to, I don't know, 50, 60 years ago, where these guys would do 200 to 300 miles on a bike and a saddle that was probably not comparable to what we ride nowadays. Mm-hmm. And they managed, right?
Yeah.
It was the clothing and so that's, I was just thinking about that. It's the roads were so bad, and they must have had a proper fit to make it work.
I always think of those, you know, those type of riders, you know, in the past, they're just like gladiators. They were just so tough in like that time period. Like if you were yeah. a biker, like you were just a tough person. You didn't have all the luxuries that you have now, you know, so most of the population can enjoy it. Like back then it was like, you had to be like a gladiator on the bike, you know, and they were probably putting up, I mean, I'm not sure if they had really fitting back then. I'm sure they did to some extent, but mm-hmm. I think a lot of it was just like, they were all just so freaking tough that they could suffer through, you know, anything.
Exactly.
I think that was probably the least of their worries.
Absolutely. Fair point. Okay. Anything else that you would like to add before we conclude this topic?
I would just say, you know, anybody that's listening that, you know, might be intrigued by what I have to say, just give me a shout. I'd be happy to help with any bike fitting issues that you have. I sort of think of myself as like a problem solver, mm-hmm. More than a fitter, because, you know, when I see somebody for a fit, it's just like taking all those pieces of the puzzle, sitting down, listening to them initially, and, you know, just figuring out what are they uncomfortable with on the bike, what do they dislike about, maybe like the handling of their bike or any of those aches and pains that they have, and just sort of making a list of everything, and just kind of getting to the bottom of their overall position, so that they just have a much more healthy riding experience. But it's not something that, in my view, can be done by like algorithms or measuring angles and relationships of angles. It's a science and it's an art, and you have to kind of combine the human aspect and the mechanical aspect together in harmony. And I kind of strive not to overemphasize the mechanical aspect. I the human aspect is most important to me, and getting that end result. And I also offer a money back guarantee on my fits, and this is actually a pretty big deal, because that's a heck of an incentive to do a good job when we have that hanging over your head. You have to get a result. And an Australian bike fitter named Steve Hogg, who's been my mentor in fit for a long time, sort of taught me that and enforced that early on in my career, because it's not so much for the customer as it is for me, for the fitter, because I'm always out there to get a result. And when you have to hand someone their money back, that's a hard lesson, and you have to learn from that. And if you don't, then, well, probably shouldn't be a bike fitter. So
no, exactly. And one final thing before we part ways is you also work together with Seven the bicycles, right? If you want to have a custom fit, a custom frame, combine the two. Can you the 1 minute pitch?
I'll try to keep it in a minute. I'm glad you brought that up. So, I've been a bike fitter for a long time, right? And I, you know, up until like maybe 2 years ago, I didn't really sell bikes. I just, people came to me with their bike and I fitted them on it. And, one of my goals was to be able to take my fits and use those numbers, use that position, that perfect position that we spend so much time, put so much thought into, and use that as a foundation to build a full custom bike, like Seven Cycles. They do titanium bikes, they weld them together, all the tubing, everything. So my relationship with Seven is that I give them the numbers, they build the bike exactly to that rider's position. So the way I think of it, the way to think about it is like I'm working on the body bike connection, and Seven's working on the bike to road connection. And by working as a team, we're able to complete this whole package of rider, bike, road, integrate them all together, which I think has always been lacking. In the past, it might've been like measuring someone, like they're buying a suit, and then those numbers is what was used to build the bike, which doesn't make sense, because you're not buying a suit, you're buying a bike, and it's much more dynamic.
Exactly.
So finding that ideal body position, that good stable pelvis, that good reach, good cleat position, all that awesome stuff where you feel amazing and you can ride like forever. Think about that bike being built underneath that. And the results have been incredible. The folks that have been buying the bikes, the custom sevens through me using this procedure, or whatever you want to call it. The bikes are just like telepathic, the way they handle, and they're so smooth, and it's been awesome. So
it's and I've seen a couple of examples at your studio, and these are, for me, true pieces of art. It's welded so beautifully with the all the components. So if you want to build your dream bike, that's as close as it can get, right?
Absolutely. Take your ultimate fit, your ultimate bike position that you're happy with and you love, and you've put time into it, and you know that you're confident in that position, and then you get your bike built off of that. And these things aren't cheap. It's a big investment, and for a lot of folks, this is like they're retired or close to retired, and this is like they're going to maybe be they're kind of just like their ultimate bike.
Yeah.
It's got to be done right. And the fit's got to be right. And I've always believed that. And I love this relationship that I have with them.
Yeah. Yeah. Amazing. Okay. Thanks. Thanks, Tim. Thanks for spending time with us. And I think there are a lot of, let's say, great nuggets here. Thanks for your advice. And I hope you come back soon and talk more bike fitting, studio training, fitting. And again, thanks for your time.
Yeah, no problem. Be happy to. Thanks, Jerry.
Okay. Thank you.
This was the first Lowland Cycling podcast. I hope you liked it. And I hope you will be tuning in next time. Thank you. Bye-bye.